Are you guys ready to make an impact? I am. What's going on? It's me, it's Sunny Salem. Welcome to episode 38 of Drawing the Line with Sunny Salem here on Cheap Heat and Cheap Pops. You guys know it's time for the weekly impact review, and there's quite a few news items coming out of this episode. So let's get right into it. This is the impact episode for November 17th, 2020. We start off with a turning point rematch with the new stipulation that it's going to be a no disqualification match. It is going to be between Moose and Willie Mack. Willie Mack is on the attack at the start, and you guys know I am not a fan of Moose by any means, but I have to say that he is getting better at selling others' moves. A lot of times I've seen that he hasn't. I find it really frustrating because nothing ever seems to affect the Invincible Moose, and it just drives me. So I have to give him props to that for that, but I end up regretting everything I just said in a few seconds. Let's get going. Moose is able to turn things around. He tells the camera, "Rich Swan, this is what pain looks like." Again, very similar to Turning Point. Moose then tells Willie Mack to tell the viewers at home that he's a wrestling god. Willie Mack won't, and that pisses Moose off even more. Of course, because it's Willie Mack, he is trying to fight back. He hits the standing moonsault for a near fall. He then misses the six-star frog splash, but he is able to hit the stunner. And this stunner had zero effect on Moose. Did he fall? Nope. Did he flinch? No. Like, he just stood there. It was ridiculous. I hate that. And this is one of my biggest criticisms with Moose. I find that so, so, so frustrating. So immediately after this stunner that has had zero effect, Moose hits the lights out spear, and then he starts dropping punches and elbows on Willie Mack. Apparently, Willie Mack is knocked out, so the ref stops the match. This was very similar to the Turning Point match that they had. I thought when they announced the no disqualification that we might have seen some weapons, maybe some more viciousness. I definitely didn't think it was just going to be able to give Moose another win, because essentially it's the exact same match, except because there was no DQ. He couldn't get disqualified for going overboard with the punches and elbows. Okay, not the greatest opener, I have to say. They had the opportunity here to kind of tell more in the storyline and kind of add more layers to it. And basically, this was very much a carbon copy of the Turning Point match. So not the biggest fan of that, especially for an opener. Next, we go to the Rascals in the Treehouse for the last time, as it is being reported everywhere, multiple news sites. The Rascals are apparently going to WWE. They haven't signed yet, but apparently they're expected to. So this is the Rascals' last night in Impact. And you guys know I'm not a big fan of the Rascals. It's not because of their technical ability. I think they're very good in the ring. However, I think a lot of times their matches are very sequenced and repetitive. So I can somewhat anticipate moves that are coming before they've even come because it's so repetitive. I would caution them on that. That's one thing that I don't like. And I also don't like the gimmick of the Rascals. I think it's really goofy. Like I said, it reminds me of like preteen boys. I just don't really like it. Is that to say that I don't think that they have potential? No, I would just like to see them move in a different direction. So let's keep our eyes open on the Rascals and see where they move next. But we are in the Treehouse again, like I said, for the last time. Trey is cold. He says there's no heat and that he doesn't like being evicted. Wentz says he doesn't want to leave. And then Trey remembers the time when Gail Kim went to the Treehouse and she ended up going with Wentz to the Jonas Brothers concert. Of course, Wentz doesn't remember this. Then Dez remembers when Moose came to the Treehouse and he beat the shit out of Trey. Of course, Trey doesn't remember this. Then they start smelling each other's fingers and knocking each other out with the smell. And that's where they lost me here. I have to say, I thought going back through memory lane and having these stoners not remembering was pretty good. But then they lost me here because I thought, like, why? What's the point? I don't get it. The lights go out. Apparently, they didn't pay that bill either. And like I said, I really liked this skit up until that, because that was not cool. It was just so unnecessary, and it ruined something that could have been a lot better. Next, we go to Tommy Dreamer. He is sitting in his office working on the Johnny Bravo attempted murder case. And Cousin Jake and Cody Diener, the Dieners, go in. Cousin Jake asks, who is it? Like, who are you thinking? Tommy Dreamer says, your cousin is still a suspect, so I can't share anything with you. Cody Diener then says, if your suspect isn't Johnny Swinger, you should look at Johnny Swinger and look in this fanny pack. Then Cody Diener and Tommy Dreamer stare into each other's eyes, like trying to make each other break. So this was a good little segment. Furthers the storyline, because we don't know who it is yet and who did it. Next, there's a match between Suicide and an upstart named Geo. They start their match, and then Eric Young and Joe Doring come down, and Joe Doring takes them both out. He delivers a power bomb to Suicide. Eric Young grabs the mic and he says, I know what you've done. I know the truth. I told the world, this world doesn't belong to you. It belongs to us. And that was the tagline that they were using for Bound for Glory. So I like that it had further meaning and how they tied that in. I thought that was pretty good. And looks like these two are going to be running roughshod over the Impact roster, I think. Next up, we are backstage with Gia Miller. She is with Impact Knockouts champion Deonna Purrazzo and Kimberly. She asks how it feels to win the Knockouts title again. Deonna says it feels amazing and she can't believe it's her second reign already for how short of a time she's been there. Kimberly says, it felt great to see what you did to Sue Young. The tag title tournament starts tonight. The curator needs a crown jewel. Deonna says, I couldn't agree more. Two belts? What's better? All of a sudden, we see some strange lighting and the room appears to be shaking. And then on the mirror after that stops, it says in red, next week, your time has come. Deonna Purrazzo and Kimberly are clearly shaken. So Su Young is not going anywhere right now. She is definitely going to keep coming after Deonna and Kimberly. So good little continuation there, I think, in the storytelling. Next, we go to Heath. He tells Rhino that he's got Rich Swann's therapist phone number and he's going to make an appointment. Rhino then leaves the room and he sees Eric Young and Joe Doring. And he's like, I saw what happened tonight. That's not going to happen here. Eric Young and Joe Doring then beat down Rhino. Heath comes to see what's going on. And Eric Young and Joe Doring push Heath back into the room. And then they shut the door behind them. So they've got Heath cornered. And that's probably not a good thing for Heath. Next up, we have a match between Brian Myers versus Crazy Steve. Of course, Crazy Steve made the save for Swoggle at Turning Point. Brian Myers is fed up with Crazy Steve's gimmick before the match even starts. Crazy Steve with a beautiful hurricanrana. He applies an illegal choke on the ropes. Then he bites Brian's head. Brian shoves Crazy Steve into the post. We go to commercial. And when we return, Brian Myers is in control. He applies a sleeper, but Crazy Steve is able to break it. Crazy Steve with a running senton in the corner and applies a submission. Brian Myers is able to make it to the rope. He then either rakes or punches Crazy Steve in the eye. It was kind of hard to tell what he did, but he follows up with a clothesline for the win. Personally, I would have liked to see Crazy Steve pick up the win here for sure. I think it would be really funny just because Brian Myers looks down on Crazy Steve. And obviously he's not professional like Brian Myers is, right? So I thought that would have been a good way to go there. So I was a little bit surprised that they didn't. Good match, though. It was a good match. Both guys looked really good in the ring. Next, we go to the Impact flashback moment of the week. It is from November 3rd, 2011. So it's Gail Kim and Madison Rayne versus Tara and Brooke Tessmacher for the Impact Tag Team titles. Karen Jarrett is in Gail Kim and Madison Rayne's corner. She distracts the ref. Gail Kim takes out Tara and is able to put Madison Rayne on top of Tara for the win, and they are the new Knockouts Tag Team Champions. So good little the flashback here for sure, given that the Knockouts Tag Team title tournament for the belts that they're bringing out of retirement begins tonight. That was a smart use of using the flashback for sure. Next, we see Johnny Swinger going to see Tommy Dreamer in his office. Tommy Dreamer says he needs to look at Swinger's fanny pack, and Johnny Swinger is like totally unfazed by this and makes a comment that it's his pharmacy. Tommy Dreamer asks if that's a Magnum, and Johnny Swinger tosses out a condom on the table, and Dreamer's like, no, the other thing. Swinger then pulls out the gun. And Dreamer's like, you're holding the smoking gun. Next week, it's wrestler's court. And it's the boys versus Johnny Swinger. So, dun, dun, dun. I think that's too easy. But I think this is going to go on a little bit further. That's my guess. But I like how they're continuing this, because it's kind of funny the way that they've been doing it this week for sure. Next, we go to the start of the Knockouts Tag Team Tournament. It is Tennille Dashwood with Caleb, with a K, and Alicia Edwards versus Nevaeh and Havoc. And I wrote down here, as soon as this match started, it's got to go to Nevaeh and Havoc for sure. They're a pretty dominant tag team. They have been for quite some time, and they just deserve it over Alicia Edwards, Tennille Dashwood for sure. Alicia Edwards and Nevaeh start. And Alicia asks Nevaeh, why are you so serious? Nevaeh says, because it's for the tag team titles, like it should be serious. Alicia then stomps Nevaeh's foot. Didn't work too well. She didn't get much offense in at that point. Tennille Dashwood is in the ring, and she just looks really slow. Like, she looks like she's doing everything in slow motion. And it really takes away from the impact of her moves, I think. I am really not a fan of Tennille Dashwood, I have to say. She tags in Alicia when Havoc is tagged in. Alicia with a surprising wheelbarrow flatliner to Havoc. I definitely did not see that coming. Havoc then breaks through Alicia's and Tennille's double clothesline. That was pretty good. It had like zero effect. Nevaeh and Havoc with some double team maneuvers. They end up picking up the win. I mean, that's just where it needed to go. This match made sense. Tennille cannot be a good tag team champion, especially with her it's all about me gimmick. They really play that up in the ring because she always kind of leaves her partners on their own. And I mean, Nevaeh and Havoc, strong, established team. It just made sense. Next, we see Jordynne Grace on the phone. She tells whoever she's talking to that she's glad that they agreed to do the tournament with her, and that when she heard this person had retired, she thought she had to give it a shot, and she'll see this person next week. So as we know, Jordynne Grace, her partner is still undetermined. I am really interested to see who it is. I have to say that for sure. Next up is a match between Hernandez versus Falaba. Again, this has to go back with Falaba taking Hernandez's money, and therefore he ended up being a suspect in the Johnny Bravo case. Hernandez wants his money, but I mean, Falaba does not have it. Kira Hogan and Tasha Steelz do. Anyways, it's Hernandez with a nice flying headbutt, and then he dives onto Falabaugh on the outside. Falabaugh with a fallaway slam to Hernandez for a near fall. Hernandez then flies off the top rope onto Falabaugh, like with a nice swan dive for the win. And I just had to write here, when did Hernandez become all about this money? Like, what happened to Supermax? Like, he can do so much more. And they just threw him in this shitty storyline with the money, and I'm just so over it. I want Supermax back, I swear. Next, we see Rohit Raju bragging about his win to Scott Moore, and then he's saying how upset he is about Eric Young and Joe Doering. Scott Moore is banging his head against the wall, and he actually says that he misses the Austin Aries days. Ouch, that hurts. Nice little burn there. TJP comes up and says that a pinata of annoying has been opened, and that's Rohit. Rohit leaves, and Scott is like, I am so sorry about your loss. Like, I was rooting for you. And he's like, it just bothers me. Like, you know, no one named TJP, no one with T, with J, with P can challenge Rohit. And in times like this, I wish he was still around, but I would think, what would Dusty Rhodes do? You know, he didn't let anything get in his way. And so, like, what would you do? Like, if you can't be named TJP and totally dropping what he should be doing. And TJP's just kind of taking this all in. So I thought that was pretty good. I really like when Scott D'Amore is on camera. He's such a funny character. I've been a fan of his for years. I'm glad to see him back on Impact more frequently. Yeah, I really like this segment, I have to say. Next, we see a video package of the Good Brothers' time in Impact. We then go to the Good Brothers backstage with Scott D'Amore. Carl Anderson gives D'Amore a Good Brothers hat. Ethan Page walks in. He is pissed right off. Apparently, he's been looking for Scott D'Amore. And he's like, you're with these guys? Like, seriously. And then he tells Doc to get his hand out of Scott's pocket and says that he wants a rematch. Doc Gallows calls him a gee, and Carl Anderson is like, no, he's a good wrestler. Let him face someone phenomenal first. Scott D'Amore is like, phenomenal? And Ethan Page is like, whatever, I'll face someone phenomenal. I don't care. So he leaves, and Scott D'Amore is like, it better be someone phenomenal. And Doc is like, it will be. And Scott D'Amore is like, somehow, I don't think you're on the up and up. So this is interesting. Obviously, they're making it sound like it's AJ. You know it's not going to be AJ. So I'm interested to see who this is going to be. I really like this segment. I hope that the Good Brothers and Ethan Page and Josh Alexander, I hope that they continue their feud, because I don't think it's over. It is now time for our main event of the evening. It is the Rascals' last match in Impact. It is Dez and Wentz versus Trey with Impact champion Rich Swann. They all dance before the match starts. There's lots of back and forth between Wentz and Trey to start. Rich Swann and Dez are tagged in. This match is really like a friendly exhibition. It's not going to be like a hard-fought battle. They're bringing it, everything that they have. Like, don't get me wrong. It's not like they're not going to be dirty or anything. Wentz with a Bronco Buster to Trey in the corner. We go to commercial. When we come back, we get to see some good teamwork between Rich Swann and Trey. And really, this match is all about back and forth. Like, everyone's kind of getting to showcase their stuff here. And no one's going to be, like, looking too dominant over the other. All four of them start giving each other shots to the or kicks to the person on the right of them. Like, they're going around in a circle. Dez and Wentz with some double teaming on Rich Swann. They deliver the hot fire flame. Trey breaks up the pin. Rich Swann frog splashes onto Dez. Wentz is able to break up that pin. Rich Swann with a kick to the back of Dez for the win. All four of these guys are really emotional. The Rascals are crying after the match. All four stand in the ring. The Rascals then take their jackets and they leave them on the ropes and they leave the ring. I thought this was really classy by Impact to give them a nice send-off. It was really classy. And I mean, I'm not, like I've said, a fan of the Rascals, but this was pretty emotional the way that they did it. You could feel the emotion. And that's when you know you're doing something right. We then see the Rascals go back into the backstage area and they're kind of like hugging each other and like congratulating each other on the match and stuff. And then a garbage can comes flying in and Sami Callihan and Ken Shamrock are on the attack. They start attacking them with chairs, the garbage can again. We then hear that it's going to be Rich Swann versus Ken Shamrock for the Impact Championship next week. And that, my friends, is the end of Impact. Like I said, we had a lot going on. You know, we had the last match of the Rascals. We will no longer see them in Impact. I wish them good luck in whatever they do. We found out that Rich Swann is going to be facing Ken Shamrock. The tag team titles for the knockout. The tournament has started. We know that Havoc and Nevaeh have advanced. Next week, we get to find out who Jordan Grace's partner is gonna be. Yeah, like, we still have the murder mystery of who shot Johnny Bravo. There's a lot going on right now, you guys. There's a lot moving, a lot of moving parts here. It's going to be really important that we keep our eyes glued on this product for the next little while because I foresee a lot of changes coming. I really love doing this review for you guys. I enjoyed this show. You guys know where to find me. I am on Facebook. I am Sunny Salem. My depression page, Life in a Sunshower, is also on there. And check out all of our stuff on Cheap Heat and Cheap Pops. It's some good quality stuff over there, you guys. Keep your eyes open on it, please. Thank you for all your support. It is so very much appreciated. I will be back soon. And until then, just remember, it's all one love.